You know, there's a real wonderful sense of expectancy here in the church. Don't you sense it? Expectancy. God's on the move. There's things happening. Things are breaking out. Even that thing that Shika shared about, you know, wow, what an opportunity for us. It's almost a kind of Paul and Mars Hill sort of experience to be able to just go into this environment and be able to share about Jesus, you know, and new things, new move of the work of the Spirit. And there's an increasing sense in this country that God is doing, is moving. A new thing of the Spirit is breaking out. There's an expectancy across the churches. I was reading and David and Greta Peters, who many of us know. I was reading their newsletter a couple of weeks ago, and in it they said there's a power surge of the Spirit coming to New Zealand. Yes. God, bring it on, you know, and there's been some wonderful words about healing miracles and signs and wonders breaking out, great expectation of that, and prophetic words spoken over the church over the years, and we believe there's prophetic words about an immense evangelistic harvest taking place. Are you expecting that? Are you expecting that? Are you hungry for that? Do you want to see that breaking out? I'm believing in that. That's we're preparing as a church on this whole evangelistic front. We're bringing Anil and Rena onto the staff. There's a growing sense of expectancy of what they'll bring, what they'll invest into the life of the church. And we're excited about that. Weekly prayer meetings, we're really a sense of expectancy. We're praying into that. The witness is happening in the prayer and the intercessors team as well. And we've been just waiting and praying for things to break out for a long time, and we've been waiting for that to happen, but that waiting can be difficult, can't it? And it can be difficult from all sorts of angles. I know as a pastor it can be difficult. People are like, "Well, what's happening? Things aren't going on," and it's a waiting time. And often in our Christian lives, often in the life of church, God calls us to wait on Him. Maybe you're in that stage in your own life and have been expectant of some things, you know. You're finding it difficult in this waiting. You're wondering, well, what are you doing, God, you know. And I think as we look in the scene of Acts 1, you see at the beginning, new ministry for the disciples. And Jesus said to them, wait. And God also often speaks to us. And He says, as He's beginning to do a new thing, He'll call us to wait first. To wait on Him, and there's a reason for that. But often in our lives, that waiting can be difficult, it can be hard, it can be painful. And during that time of waiting, though, that God just doesn't want us to wait for no reason. He has a reason for us waiting. He has a reason. And I think the reason is to build our faith and our trust, our obedience and our faith in His Word, that we'll obey His promises, that we will fully trust His Word and be open to what His Spirit wants to do. And I think sometimes it's a training ground. Sometimes He's doing a work of preparing us for what He's wanting to do in the future. And He's preparing us and He prepares us in that waiting time. And I believe the waiting time has been a time of preparation for us as a church. You see, the Bible tells us that when it comes to this whole faith thing, you know, that and obedience and trusting in God and being open to His Holy Spirit, that for a lot of people there's a battle goes on in their minds when it comes to this sort of stuff. The battlefield for every Christian is in the mind. Our mindset, how we think about things. And often when we come to this time of waiting, there will be a battle go on within your life. A battle between doubt and faith. And God wants His people to be able to move in faith. And it'll be a proving ground in this time of developing and growing you to be people of faith. And you'll have to wrestle with this whole thing of doubt. And for a lot of people, they struggle with doubt. Sure, you have. I know I have at times. You know, little the doubts are little faith destroyers that get in and kind of niggle away at the promises that God gives us. Things that He's wanting to do through us. And over the last few years at church, you know, He's spoken great prophetic words over this place. And sometimes people think, it's not, what's going on? And you get all upset about it. The doubts creep in. And it can be like that in our own lives, you know, when we've holding on to a promise of God and trusting in Him and believing something's going to happen. And when those things don't happen in the way we hope they are, they would, we start to get a little bit doubtful. We start doubting some aspect, character of God, His goodness, His love. You know, if God really loved me, I wouldn't be going through this. And the little doubts creep in. His power. I've been waiting on the power. I don't see anything happening. If God's an all-powerful God, why isn't things breaking out? Doubts about His promises, like prayer. Answer to prayer. You know, I've been praying about this. God, I thought you answered prayer. I didn't see any answer to my prayer. Doubts creeping in. The battlefare of the mind. We go through times like this, and sometimes in those times God's preparing us, but it's often during these times that God will reaffirm His promise to you. And if you're going through doubts this morning, I believe that God wants to reaffirm some promise in your life. Some promises that He wants to speak into your life and fortify and strengthen your faith. That's what it was like for the disciples here. They're sitting, they're waiting. And what does Jesus do? In verse 4, He turns up and He says to them, you know, you guys, wait in Jerusalem. Don't leave Jerusalem. Wait for this gift of my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. Hey guys, you've already heard me speaking about this, and in this waiting time, I want to reaffirm this promise to you. For John baptized with water, in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And they think, wow, that sounds great. Verse 8, He says, this is what it's going to look like, guys. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You're going to receive power. You're wanting power? Yes, Lord. It's a main part of the Christian life, the power of God in our lives. And it'll come upon you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Right out through the earth. You know, think what Jesus is doing here. He's just reaffirming a promise that He'd already given to them in Luke chapter 24, verse 49. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes upon you, fills you with power from heaven. And that's what God often does in our lives when we're going through waiting times. Reaffirms the promise. We need to spend time listening to Him, reading His Word, joining together in worship. But I think it's important that we do something that the apostles did here. Verse 14, they went back from the Mount of Olives back to Jerusalem, and it says they all joined together constantly in prayer. And go home and say, oh, well, I'll pray at home, and if it breaks out, cool. Nah, they got together. They constantly joined together in prayer. Are you meeting together with other Christians praying? We want a spirit to break out. We're singing about it. Are you meeting together praying? There's plenty of times coming up for this Mila operation with the Indian festival. Come and pray with expectancy. I think it's worth remembering. When you're waiting on God to do something, when you're holding on to a promise that hasn't come to pass, every time you get a negative thought, when the doubts start to creep in or whatever it might be, attack it with prayer. That's what the disciples were doing in some ways. Whenever a doubt comes upon you, turn it into a thought that speaks out the promise until you're standing firm on that promise with no doubts. This is a fashioning time, a proving time, a training time, that we would take hold of that promise of God and that we would combat the doubts with the promise of God and attack it through prayer. The battlefield of mind is won through prayer and the promises of God. What promises has He given you? They're contained in here. Take hold of them. Stand firm on them. Don't move to the left or to the right, but the promises of God. And you know, sometimes in these times we're faced with a decision, aren't we? And I think this was something big for the disciples. And it's big for us, you know, it's this. As I'm waiting on God, as I'm thinking about the promises of God, am I prepared to let God do whatever he wants to do? Am I prepared to let him take me wherever he wants to take me to? And sometimes in this waiting time, it's a preparation of our hearts to say to God, God, I surrender to you. Do whatever you want me to do. No conditions. You know, we're such a conditional people. God, I'll let you move in this way. I'll let you do that as long as, you know, you just do the things that I'm happy with. I remember years ago when I was, we reached this point. I've shared this story before in ministry, and we were tired out. And we weren't burnt out. We were just spiritually and emotionally exhausted. And we got invited to this pastor's retreat, and we had pastors pray, which is good, isn't it? And we went along to this. And I was at that point. I remember just standing in the meeting, and I said, God, I've had enough. I can't go on anymore. Whatever you want to do, do it. And God's going, yay, finally got you to that point. I can move in your life. And his spirit came on me, it touched me, and I'm weeping. I'm crying. You know, it wasn't just him. I'm weeping, snot coming out of my nose. And then a while later, I'm laughing. And, you know, the joy of the Lord. I needed joy at that time. I was so down about things. I was struggling. I remember in my own personal life, but struggling with church. And God is doing a work in me, powerful, powerful work. When I got to the end of myself and said, God, do whatever you want to do. But we so often come to him with conditions, don't we, you know? And we lay down those conditions. Lord, I'm happy for the Spirit to come on me as long as I'm in control. You know, as long as I don't feel uncomfortable, looks silly, you know, I just know crying, that's just not up my alley. Or as long as I don't laugh, what's with the laughing, God, you know, or fall down, or have to go to Afghanistan, or have to sell the house, or have to tell somebody about Jesus, I'm happy for you to do whatever I like, as long as you follow those conditions. You know, during the time, God will search in for hearts that say, Lord, here I am with no conditions. What are you expecting for? What promises are you holding on to? What are you believing that for God to do within your life, within your family, within your marriage, your relationships, within his church? Are you expectant? Are you coming with him, to him with no doubts, with faith, no conditions? God, do whatever you want to do. Are you praying together, seeking his face? Well, look what happens. Verse 2, chapter 2. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house they were sitting in. You know, there's nothing natural about this whole chapter in Acts. You know, this was a supernatural suddenly. Tell yourself that. I believe in supernatural suddenlies because they're of God. When it comes to my life, I'm believing in a supernatural suddenly happening. Suddenly the Spirit broke out in that place. And I think that's what we should be expecting to happen in our time of waiting. I'm waiting for the suddenlies to break into my life. I'm praying, believing in the promise. It might seem like eternity for this break and to be breaking out. And there might be those times when will it ever happen? A supernatural suddenly will break into your waiting time. Things that we thought were impossible to achieve will be overcome with the suddenly, you know, because then it will suddenly become possible. Things that we're expecting to happen will suddenly break out. Promises that we've been believing in will suddenly come to pass. Are you believing in suddenlies? I believe that we're entering into a time, into a season of suddenlies. Things we've been praying for, things we've been believing in are suddenly going to happen. And as they were, and then this happened with the disciples, I believe we're coming into that time, church. Do you? Bring it on, Lord. It's suddenly going to happen. Bang! We're seeing it. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I like that. The Holy Spirit came on them. This was ecstatic utterances. They were speaking out stuff that they had never experienced before. They had an experience of the Spirit that they had never seen. In a way, the Holy Spirit moved in a way that they'd never experienced, never expected. Ecstatic utterances. They'd never seen that sort of stuff before. I don't think they were thinking, oh, wow, this is exactly what we thought was going to happen. Yeah, we thought tongues of fire would come upon us and that we were going to shout out and we're speaking out in tongues. No. They knew the power of the Spirit was coming, but they didn't know in what shape or form. As Bible-believing Christians, are we open for a supernatural suddenly and a supernatural power of God to come upon us? Oh, no, we don't believe in that sort of stuff anymore. Do you believe in the Scriptures? You stand in faith in an all-powerful, almighty God. The Spirit come upon you like it did in Acts. I think that should be the norm for every Christian. You know, when the suddenlies break out, God begins to move in a way that we never expected Him to move. That is so often the case. You know, some of the revivals in the past, things have happened. I just wonder how they moved into it. It was like when the Holy Spirit started to really appear back in the 1900s and 1800s, you know, there was some amazing move of God and things they hadn't seen, we'd only read about in the book of Acts, suddenly broke out again, you know. They weren't expecting it. It just came upon them and released in a powerful, powerful way. Are we expectant? God, use me. I may not understand it, but I'm just expecting and open and available to you to work through me. And He will, but probably not in a way that you would expect. Are you open and available? Lord, if I laugh, if I fall down, if I sense you're calling me to pack in my job and go and do this, or sense you're speaking to me to go and talk to this person or that person, I'll do it. I'm available. I'm obedient. He's looking for hearts that are open and available to Him. But there's a big issue we have to deal with at this point. And I believe that this issue, if we don't deal with it properly, has the potential to thwart any move of God that breaks out in the place. This is such an important one. It's this. When God moves, the fear of man will rise. When God moves, the fear of man will rise. You know, we'll start worrying. What will other people think? What might they say? What are they saying? And we'll bend the knee to what people say rather than what God is doing. And this is what the disciples had to contend with in verse 13. When the crowd said, they ridiculed them saying, they're just drunk. Imagine that. They're speaking in tongues, speaking to all the people that are gathered from all the nations in Jerusalem. That's a picture of the church, actually, bringing the nations together. God's actually doing that over in Newland right at the moment. Oh, yeah, but he's a Hindu. No, he's a man that God's got his hand on. He's in the world, convicting it of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And here are the disciples having to contend with this stuff. You know, when the supernatural suddenly breaks out, you know, when there's a new move of the Spirit, when the Spirit's powerfully moving and signs and wonders, healings and physical manifestations and people come into faith, some people, tragically in the church will rise up and mock it, ridicule it. You know, when the charismatic renewal broke out in New Zealand, it split the church because that spirit rose up. People ridiculed it, mocked it, said, this is of the devil. And others said, oh, I don't understand it. I just sense that this is of God. And we're just open, available to God to use us. And God moved mightily through those people that responded like that. And I'd be careful saying anything is of the devil. Yes, whatever moves happen, we need to weigh it and test it and see that it is God. But I'd be careful going out and saying, man, that's from the devil. I've heard lots of people say different things, you know, about Christians. You know what? Oh, that's not God. If it's not God, then what is it? It's Satan. It's of the devil. Jesus said, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy can be forgiven except the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. What a warning. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. Anyone who speaks against the Son of Man can be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, either in this world or in the world to come. Be careful. You better be sure, absolutely sure, that some things that are breaking out, if you're going to say that it's of the devil, that it is. That it is. That it is. And I'll say it again. Yes, as a church, as a leadership, we need to be prayerful and be able to determine that something is of God that breaks out. But I'd be careful to heed this warning here. When the supernatural suddenlies break out, they'll always be met with opposition. You know, God's looking for hearts that are open and available. He's looking for people who are hungry. He's looking for a people who won't compromise or bend to the ridicule and the things that other people say around them. They'll keep their eyes fixed upon Jesus, the author and the pioneer, the perfecter of their faith. You know, he's looking for people who won't wade into the river and be ankle deep and stop there. He's looking for people who don't just want a bit of the Spirit only as long as they can control it. He's looking for people who will allow the Holy Spirit to do through them whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do, and to lead them to places wherever the Holy Spirit wants to lead them. And then, as we know, Peter got up and he preached this. It's a pretty plain sermon, really. I could preach this to you today, and you know, some of you would shut your eyes and think, oh, yeah, I've got some other stuff to do. But this is Peter's sermon. He preached the sermon, you know, a pretty ordinary sermon. And he told people about Jesus. This is Jesus that you crucified. And he told them to repent of their sins and be baptized. And they'd receive the Holy Spirit too. And guess what happened? The Spirit fell. 3,000 people were added to the number that day. God believes in church growth. God believes in numbers who turn up on a Sunday. He recorded it in the Bible. 3,000 people. The power of God working through one man that was open and available, that was obedient and faithful, and he wants to work through you. So you'd be his witness. He doesn't give you the Spirit so that you feel good. He gives the Spirit to you so that you're empowered to be his witness. Yes, there's a new move of the Spirit breaking out. And I think as we see it breaking out, we're going to see growth. Expect that growth. Look and you'll watch it and see it. We don't grow the church. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, and the Lord gave growth. God brings the growth. And he's going to bring growth in this place. You know, some people look around, oh man, what's going on? He's calling us to wait, to build our faith, to trust in his promises. The suddenlies are going to break out. We're going to see growth. We're in exciting times, church. And God is telling us, you know, await my promises, expect the suddenlies, and watch for the growth. But more than that, you know, there's countless numbers of people in this city. There's countless numbers of people in this nation further afield who need to be made new in the power of the Spirit too. And what happened in Pentecost, I think God wants to see breaking out in Hillsborough, Mount Roskill, New Lynn, Auckland City, the Pacific, further afield in Asia and Africa, the East, the Middle East, and Eastern countries, the Americas. I want it to break out. And as a new move of the Spirit breaks out and the Holy Spirit touches you and comes upon you, remember this, God has poured it out on you for a reason, that you'd be His witness. He's preparing you. He's calling you to wait upon His Spirit so that you're prepared and ready for those suddenlies to break out. The places that you live, family and your marriages, and the church and the community, the places that you live in and breathe in, those suddenlies will come to pass, that others would receive this life-giving, this life-changing, this life-renewing, this life-transforming power of the Spirit. Are you open? Are you available? Then let's watch the suddenlies break out and allow God to work through us in power and in might, change this city, this nation, the world in a kingdom way. Let's pray, church, as we bring the service to a close with our final song. Father, we thank you for this word, Lord. Lord, that you're renewing, that you're making things new, that you're renewing your spirit, that there's a new work of the Spirit breaking out. Lord, we long to see the suddenlies break into this place, into our own lives, the things that we've been holding on, believing in. And for some here, there's a call to ministry. And it's been a promise of God to you, and you've left it and you've put it aside because it just didn't seem like it was ever going to become a reality. I believe that Jesus is speaking to somebody here today. That promise is still intact. Trust me. Trust me. It's a time of preparation, a time of outpouring of my Spirit and of enablement and of empowerment, that you would rest not upon the wisdom of man, but upon the power of God. Because the days ahead as you step into this ministry, it's not going to be on well-reasoned little sayings that you're going to see advance happen, but on the demonstration of the Spirit of power. Wait upon me. Wait upon my Spirit. The day is coming when it will suddenly break out. Suddenlies breaking out. You've held on to a promise of healing. It will suddenly break out. You've held on that just a promise that the Spirit would move in a relationship issue you've been struggling with. Hold on to my promise. It will break out. It will break out. It'll break out. Lord, we just want to stand in awe of you this morning, trusting you, reaffirming our faith in you. As we go into our week, Lord, may we go waiting on your promises and expectant of the suddenlies to break out and the kingdom of God to advance in our small space and patch that we live in. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Touch us and fill us.